RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host,
let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening. Our third to last show of the 2016 season here on your Sunday mornings before we go into full Bills regular season mode on the channel. Thanks for listening this morning, and rain is the word of the day here on Fast Track. We've had some rain here in the Buffalo area, although it's kind of passed through us, still a lot of rain off to the east, and this line of rain that off to the eastern part of the state goes from here and stretches all the way down to Bristol, Tennessee, where NASCAR is this weekend for today's night/day race at Bristol, because as Brayton said in the update, it was delayed by rain last night. They got 48 laps in, and the rains came, and they tried to get the race restarted, and they were right about to, and it rained again, so NASCAR pulled the plug, and they're going to pick it up today with still 452 laps to go, and Kyle Busch leads here after 48 laps at Bristol, so that's where they'll pick up where they left off last night. But August has been the month of rain for NASCAR, except for Watkins Glen 2 weeks ago. They had rain at Pocono. Watkins Glen was gorgeous. They had rain at Mid-Ohio last weekend for the Xfinity Series and rain this weekend at Bristol. So hopefully the folks at Michigan next weekend don't have to go through this. Speaking of Watkins Glen, our good buddy Michael Printup will join us at the bottom of the hour. A little bit of a post-NASCAR weekend recap. And also we'll look ahead to the IndyCar race. And were you like me? Were you raising your hand when Brayton asked in the update, are you Buffalo's biggest IndyCar fan? Actually, I don't think I could lay claim to that. I'm not the biggest. I don't think I'm the biggest IndyCar fan of Buffalo. I like the Verizon IndyCar series, of course. But
plus, contest rules wouldn't allow
yes,
you to win.
Yes, I am ineligible to win because I am an employee of Entercom Radio Buffalo. So yes, I cannot win the contest. But what a cool contest. I just discovered this contest during the week that we are doing this. If you missed it in Brayton's update, go to WGR550.com and click the contest tab, and you got to sign up for this contest. We are giving away 4 tickets to the IndyCar race at the Glen. It says 1 hot lap. Now, I'm not sure what that constitutes. I don't know if it's in a pace car, if it's in the 2-seater IndyCar. I don't know. I'm not saying I know, but it says 1 hot lap. So that could be anything. It could be a pace car ride. It could be a ride in the 2-seater. Anyway, that'd still be cool. You get to meet an IndyCar driver, collectibles, pit and garage access, and tickets to the race, of course, at Watkins Glen International September 4th. What a cool prize pack that is. The prize package is worth nearly $5,000, by the way. Again, no purchase necessary. All contest rules apply. But go to WGR550.com and click the contest tab and go sign up for our IndyCar contest here on WGR. And you can join me at the IndyCar Grand Prix at Watkins Glen because I'm going to be there for the IndyCar race, and I just found out this week we're going to do our thrilling season finale in 2 weeks live from Watkins Glen International. We're going to take the show on the road. We're going to be live from the media center 2 weeks from today, leading up to the IndyCar race here on WGR. So we're going to have I'm going to do the show live from Watkins Glen in 2 weeks for the IndyCar race. So lots of excitement surrounding that event, and hope you can sign up for the contest. Hope you win and join us. If not, hope you can come out either way and check out the unique race at Watkins Glen. So we'll talk to Michael Printup about that later on in this program. Also, coming up in less than 10 minutes, there is a new NASCAR video game coming out, NASCAR Heat Evolution, and we're going to talk to Matt Dusenberry from Dusenberry Martin Racing Games, and they are putting together the new NASCAR video game that's coming out next month for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So we'll talk to Matt about the game here in less than 10 minutes. But the Bristol race, the night now day race at Bristol, that they're going to pick up where they left off at 1 o'clock. By the way, the race is on CNBC if you're going to be watching at home due to Olympics coverage and the fact that the IndyCar race from Pocono is on NBCSN at 3 p.m., you are forced to find CNBC on your television dial to watch today's resumption of the race from Bristol. So keep that in mind if you're looking for it come 1 o'clock. But Kyle Busch leads, Chase Elliott second. Ryan Blaney, who's got that special, really cool Virginia Tech paint scheme, is running third. Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth rounding out the top five. And then it is Martin Truex, Carl Edwards, Jeff Gordon, Joey Logano, and Kyle Larson rounding out the top 10 after 48 laps at Bristol. And I guess it is the return of old Bristol. We've had old Bristol, new Bristol, new old, new Bristol. And we're trying to go back to old Bristol, apparently, because the folks at Bristol Motor Speedway, who have been chasing this concrete surface for, I don't know, what, are we getting close to a decade now that this has been going on, that they've been, you know, putting in banking here, taking out banking there, polishing concrete, messing up concrete. They've just been at it for the last decade. It's been driving the fans crazy, and everybody wants the good old days of the bump and run at Bristol, when you've had Dale Earnhardt rattling the cage of Terry Labonte, and Terry Labonte dumping Dale Earnhardt, and Jeff Gordon and Rusty Wallace getting into each other, and fans yearn for those days and sold out crowds at Bristol Motor Speedway. Although they remember all the great crashes, but they don't remember any of the racing. It's kind of funny that way. And so in Bristol Motor Speedway's ongoing quest to get back to that style of racing at Bristol, they've tried something new for this year. I think we mentioned this before a week or so ago on the show, but in case you haven't been paying attention, they polished the concrete on the bottom lane of the racetrack. Since this track has undergone all these changes, the outside lane has become the fast way around Bristol, not the bottom where they all ran back in the day and you had that just conveyor belt of race cars nose to tail on the bottom, and there was no way really to pass unless you got into a guy and loosened him up, or if you had a car that could somehow get a run on the outside, that was the only way you could pass anybody at Bristol. Well, after they tweaked with the concrete and they put in that progressive banking and all the other stuff they did to it over the years, the dominant groove shifted from the bottom of the racetrack all the way to the top of the racetrack, and it became a multi-groove racetrack. You saw two wide racing, even three wide racing. You saw the bonsai slide job passes like you would see at a dirt track. You would see that as well too. So fans apparently didn't like that because they weren't crashing enough. So Bristol's been trying to get back to this, so they've polished the concrete on the bottom of the banking, and they added I'm hearing it referred to as like 15 different things, but you can call it traction compound, VHT, rosin is the word I keep hearing from NASCAR. I don't know if they just don't want to use any brand names or whatnot, but basically they're putting sticky stuff down on the bottom of the banking and then dragging tires over it to try and increase the grip level on the bottom. And it has worked, sort of, for the most part, although it seemed like in the part of the cup race I watched the opening parts of it, it looked like that the top lane was still the fast way to go. But the bottom lane does have some usability, and we might actually see some side-by-side racing. I saw him go run three wide for the lead in the Xfinity race on a Friday night. And so the challenge is now, can you run the bottom? Can you run the top? And or is everybody going to run on the bottom and you get the classic bump and run? We will have to see how it plays out after the 452 laps that they got to run today are in the books. But it's good to see Bristol trying to address this. Although I have enjoyed the racing at Bristol, the side by side, the outside groove. I've liked it. I don't need as many crashes as some fans do, and I've enjoyed what we've seen at Bristol over the last few years. But some fans are hoping that the action returns to where everybody goes to the bottom and bumps the guy out of the way in front of them to try and go for the lead. So that is what we're looking at today for 452 laps. And I know before yesterday's race, NASCAR was going to put more what they call rosin down to try and increase the grip levels. I'm not sure what the status of that is going to be, though, with all the rain they've had at Bristol. They've had rain today already at Bristol, too, although at last check it was not raining and they were trying to get the track dry. The plan is to still start at 1 o'clock. We'll see what the bottom lane is like today or if everybody's going to be back on that outside groove. But definitely kudos to Bristol Motor Speedway for thinking out of the box. And this process of adding rosin or traction compound, whatever you want to call it, to an oval track, this is no strange thing. I mean, we do this at Lancaster Speedway, where we have done it. I think we stopped doing it this season, but at Lancaster Speedway, with all the repave work that has been done there the last 2 years, we spent a lot of time applying traction compound to the outside line. That's why the racing at Lancaster has been so good. There is an outside line because we've put traction compound down, drag tires on it to keep that outside line to make it viable. I mean, before the repave, as rough as the racing surface was at Lancaster, it was a two-groove racetrack. With the repave, with obvious, there's a chance of, you know, that going away and becoming a one-lane track, so that's why you put it down. And even, and I think we talked about this last week, we were talking to Danny Kapuscinski from Oswego Speedway, but they're also looking into it as well. Oswego, a very worn-out racetrack with really only one groove. They are looking into putting their, they did put down traction compound, I believe, for their race yesterday, running a second groove. And I know for the Race of Champions next month, they're going to have traction compound down as well, too, to try and increase the grip levels. Because it is very hard to pass at Oswego, as flat and as worn out as it is. The super modifieds can pull it off. It's even a bigger challenge, though, for the modifieds to do it. So this concept by Bristol to put something down on the racetrack to improve the grip is nothing new. It's done before, and maybe you don't hear about it as much on the NASCAR circuit, but definitely there are short tracks out there that have tried to have done this process to improve the racing and grip levels at their track. 803-0551 888-550-2550. Of course, we did get quite the traditional Bristol finish in the Xfinity race on Friday night. Well, maybe not the finish, but leading up to the green-white checkered finish, you had rivals Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch going at it for the win, and Kyle attempted kind of one of those bonsai slide job passes where he dove down to the inside and then you slide up to pass the guy in front of you, and he didn't have Brad cleared all that well, and he went off the nose of Brad's car and into the wall, and then Ty Dillon came in and blasted Kyle from behind after the yellow had come out and took them both out. And so we saw some typical Bristol racing on Friday in the Xfinity Series race. Tough break for Brad, though, of course, was he ran out of gas during the caution period as they cleaned up the track and were setting up for that green-white checker finish. And Brad ran out of gas that had come down pit road, and that opened things up for Austin Dillon, as his brother had some misfortune. Austin got the win on Friday night in the Xfinity race. But we definitely saw an improved product. We saw a good race, too, on Wednesday night with the Truck Series, another event impacted by rain. But the trucks definitely took a liking to the bottom groove at Bristol, especially in their practice sessions on Wednesday. The first practice session, everybody kind of stayed to the outside. In the first practice session, they were scared to go to the bottom because it was kind of slippery, but then they went out for that second round of practice, and they picked up quite a lot of speed when they started running to the bottom, and so it definitely is helping to improve speeds there at Bristol Motor Speedway. Also, in the truck race on Wednesday night, got to give a shout-out to someone we've had on the show here in the past, Stuart Friesen. He qualified for his first-ever pavement race in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. He ran Eldora, was running well until mechanical problems. But he and his Hallmark team, they took that equipment they took to Bristol, put it back together, refurbished it, and they're going to run four races this year, including Bristol this past Wednesday. And Stu went out, qualified, even made it to the second round of qualifying, and finished 22nd, two laps down, but still not bad for a guy that has never run a truck series on pavement before. You know, he finished the race. That was one of his goals, he said. It was just to finish the race and not get in the way. And he definitely did pretty well in his first Camper World Truck Series start. So congrats to Stuart Friesen. And I know they've got three more races. I've seen New Hampshire, Phoenix. I don't know his exact schedule for the other three races they're going to do in the Truck Series. But look for Stuart to make three more starts on pavement. Right now, let's go to the AT&T hotline and bring in from Dusenberry Martin Racing. They are the producers of the new NASCAR Heat Evolution video game, which is coming out next month for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. As Matt Dusenberry joins us on the line. Matt, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy race day to you, Dave.
Yes, happy race day. As I was saying here off the top, we've got some rain off to the east of us, Matt, and that line of rain stretches from up here in New York State all the way down to Bristol, Tennessee. It's been a wet one down there in Thunder Valley.
It really has. I took a day trip up to Bristol on Friday, and I guess I picked the right day to go. It was a wash yesterday.
Definitely. Well, obviously, a lot of people are excited for this new game, NASCAR Heat Evolution. And I'll tell you what, two of my all-time favorite racing games are the original NASCAR Heat that Hasbro did, I don't know, about a decade ago. And then, of course, NASCAR Heat Dirt to Daytona for PlayStation 2, because you had modifieds and dirt track racing in it, which is is great for people like me that are fans of short track racing. Those are two great games. How does that legacy come into this new game coming out, NASCAR Heat Evolution?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. We're super excited about NASCAR Heat Evolution, and we actually, Dusenberry Martin Racing is a new publisher. We were founded in January 2015. We're 100% focused on NASCAR games, so it's the only sport that we're focusing on producing titles for. We went out and hired Monster Games, which was the original developer of NASCAR Heat and Dirt to Daytona. So the idea, it's the same group of guys, is to bring back that great gameplay on the next generation platform. So this game is all new. It's built from the ground up, and we're excited to bring NASCAR to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One for the first time.
So this is a completely new build. I thought, I might have misread it, I thought maybe some of the guts from the previous PlayStation 3 NASCAR games were coming along for this project, but this has nothing to do with those last previous releases?
It does. It was built by the same team.
Right.
Team of guys completely, re-engineered the game and brought it to the next generation platform. So, you know, some of the features on this game, we have a 40-person multiplayer for the first time, which I'm super excited about. So you can have full field races. There's adaptive artificial intelligence. So the field, the AI field, will actually adjust to your skill level as you continue to put races in. So there's a lot of fun, and it's a great game for NASCAR fans.
What is the biggest challenge? You've got to be so dead on with these games, because NASCAR fans are some of the most critical fans in all of sports. Just go on social media for 5 minutes, you'll find out. But what has been the hardest thing to recreate from the real life NASCAR experience to put it into a digital form?
Yeah, Dave, you're exactly right. We have to kind of stay ahead of the curve on what technology changes are coming to NASCAR. And, as you mentioned, those little details are so key to incorporate into the game. So things like the digital dash, we have to create that for the game. When NASCAR does new aero packages, we have to implement those changes into the game. So it's all about staying ahead of the curve and making it as authentic as possible. And part of our process for making it authentic is we hired a team of drivers. So in the game, all the drivers are in the game. You can choose your favorite driver on who to race. But we actually went out and hired Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, Ben Kennedy, and Matt Tift. And they're not brand ambassadors, but they're actually part of the development team. So they come into our office regularly, play the game, and give us feedback on how to make it authentic. You know, Joey gave some feedback on shift points on restart, so we adjusted those so that they were authentic. Brad gave us some feedback on, in Phoenix, the sun is in your eyes when you go into turn one. So you put the sun in your eyes. So all those things that these guys feel at the track on Sundays, we try to incorporate all that into the NASCAR Heat Evolution.
Matt Dusenberry joining us from Dusenberry Martin Racing. Matt, I'm assuming, but for the fans, let us know. I'm assuming the full NASCAR experience here. You've got a full weekend with group qualifying and everything, and you've got the full 36 race season in there with the chase for the cup and everything that goes along with that, correct?
You're exactly right. It's the full NASCAR experience. We have all 23 Sprint Cup Series tracks. We have the full field of 40 cars. And then, like you said, the weekend formats are identical. The schedule is identical, so you can have the full NASCAR experience. There's a deep career mode where you start in an underfunded car without sponsors or fans and have to kind of claw your way through the field and have some top 30 runs. And then as you get into your career and get more money, build up your team and infrastructure. So there's several different ways to play the game, and it's an awesome experience. And if anyone out there wants to check it out, you can pre-order NASCAR Heat Evolution at NASCARHeat.com.
Of course, so we're located close to Watkins Glen here in Buffalo. Matt, how is Watkins Glen in the game? Does it have the fresh new pavement down there at the Glen, and how does it look inside the game?
Yeah, Watkins Glen is an awesome track. It's one of the more difficult tracks to recreate just because of all the different turns and what a big facility it is. Watkins Glen has that same awesome, fast road course feel that you see that you saw a couple weeks ago at the Glen. But one of my favorite tracks for sure.
Matt, one of the things that amazes me is how far gaming has come, and now the simulation experience is so part of racing. You hear drivers, especially the younger drivers, talk about all the time how they spend time in simulators preparing. I mean, even Jeff Gordon, as he was preparing to get back behind the wheel of the 88 car to fill in for Dale Jr., he said he spent time in a simulator too. It's amazing how far along this technology has come and how basically video games have become part of the sport as a tool for drivers.
It really has become a tool. So Matt Tift, one of our development drivers, I'm sure you followed the story where he underwent brain surgery earlier this year, and he's been sidelined from the actual track. So we delivered Matt a build of NASCAR Heat Evolution early on in his recovery, and he used it as a tool just to get laps, hand-eye coordination, kind of get the feel back for the track. And he's in a late model today testing in order to get back into the top three NASCAR National Series. So Matt Tift actually used NASCAR Heat Evolution in some of his recovery. And the game really enables simulation mode. So there is a normal mode, which the game shifts with, and that is for people who might not be familiar with the mechanics of the car or the physics and just want a fun NASCAR experience. Mm-hmm. You can go into options and flip over to simulation mode. That's my personal favorite. I've been a sim racer for years, and it makes it very, very difficult to drive. If you make a mistake, it's very unforgiving, but it takes in all that, the realism and how hard it is to drive a Sprint Cup Series car and replicates that within the game.
Well, it all sounds very exciting. Looking forward to this NASCAR Heat Evolution, September 13th. Matt, I've got a PlayStation 4, so just keep that in mind. If you got any extra copies of the game lying around when it comes out September 13th, we'll be looking forward to trying this out. Great to talk to you. I've had Ed Martin on the show in the past, so say hi to Ed for us, and thanks for the time this morning.
Awesome, we'll do. We'll send you a copy of the game, and everyone else head up to NASCARHeat.com to check it out. So thank you so much, Dave.
Very good. Take care, Matt.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Matt Dusenberry again from Dusenberry Martin Racing, and you can also follow them on Twitter at DMR NASCAR Heat is the official Twitter for NASCAR Heat Evolution. Again, September 13th. Even though I'm like a dad now, I still try and squeeze in some video game time every now and then, but it's a lot harder than it used to be. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Before we go to break, mentioned Jeff Gordon there, filling in for Dale Earnhardt Jr. For next week in Michigan, there is a chance that Dale Earnhardt Jr. could be back behind the wheel of the 88 car. We still do not have official confirmation on as if he's going to be driving or not. But if he cannot go at Michigan next week, it will not be Jeff Gordon driving the 88 car. Jeff says he has some commitments on Friday and Saturday of that weekend. So if he can't do the full, practice and qualifying, he doesn't want to, take up the seat on Sunday. That wouldn't be good for the 88 team. So Alex Bowman, if Dale Jr. cannot compete on Sunday next weekend at Michigan, he'll be filling in for Dale Jr. for the second time in this stretch that Dale has missed with concussions. If not, Dale Jr. might be back behind the wheel as soon as next week in Michigan, a track that, of course, he's won at before, and I'm sure he'll get that chase injury waiver, and you never know. It could be quite the story if somehow Dale Jr. wins these last couple of races before the regular season ends and still makes his way into the chase. I'm sure NASCAR would love it if that happened as well. Dale has been continuing to do a little social media posting. He had a video of him shooting hoops this week as he continues to come back and deal with those concussion issues. And we'll see if he's back behind the wheel next week at Michigan or the week after for Labor Day weekend at Darlington. We get back. We're going to talk to more Watkins Glen talk here with our buddy Michael Printup. We come back. Plus time for your phone calls to 803-0551, 888-552-550. If you've been paying attention this weekend to Bristol, what do you think of the racing and on-track action you've seen so far? And do you look forward to today's race, or are you not sure what to expect? Please check in with us when we get back here on Fast Track here on WGR. /11:33 here on WGR, Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan, and WGR's Fast Track. I'm tired this morning. I shouldn't complain, I know. I come here on my own will and do this show, but I was up till 3 a.m. watching that Tragically Hip concert. I DVR'd it because I was at Lancaster last night, and I came home and working on my press releases, and I'm like, oh, look, the race got rained out, so let's throw on the Hip concert and check that out. And I am not, like, Tragically Hip super fan. I'm not like Bulldog and Brad Ryder, who did a great show on Friday talking about the Hip. I'm not like that. I couldn't have called in. I didn't have a Tragically Hip story. But I live in Buffalo. I like the band. I've got all I own is music at work and a greatest hits compilation. So I'm like poser Tragically Hip fan. But that was a phenomenal show, and what a tribute to Gord and the guys. That was. I had all the feels, as kids like to say. That was definitely quite the event, and so cool that it was broadcast on CBC, and so glad we live in Buffalo that we're able to take advantage of that. And what a performance last night by the Tragically Hip, and what a way to close out an amazing career. With that, let's go to the AT&T hotline and bring in our good buddy Michael Printup from Watkins Glen International. Michael, good morning. How's it going?
Good morning, David. How are you?
Good. Speaking of getting not a lot of sleep, I'm sure that's where you're... Actually, you were on vacation this week, so you might have got some sleep, but that's all the sleep you're going to get now for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's it. I came back Tuesday, actually, then went right down to Florida for some meetings down in corporate, and came flying right back, worked yesterday and the day before, and I'm tired today. I'm kind of like you. I was home last night at 7 o'clock laying on the couch.
Well, luckily for Watkins Glen International, Michael, this month of rain here in August for the NASCAR community, Watkins Glen somehow avoided that and had a gorgeous weekend a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we had an awesome weekend. We sold out our grandstands again. As you know, being a road course, we have plenty of GA tickets available, but it was an awesome weekend. The drivers, of course, just did their normal, fantastic job on the racetrack. They put on a great show for the fans. And like you said, we were lucky with the weather, and I anticipate we'll be lucky in 2 weeks from now, too.
Yeah, the IndyCar race, we'll talk about that in a minute. But just talk about the cheese at 355 at the Glen. Michael, Denny Hamlin getting the win. I thought Brad was going to have that race, but Denny got up there late to steal the victory. And another phenomenal performance by the Sprint Cup Series at your racetrack.
Yeah, and Denny was hurt, and I know it was reported later, so I'm not telling anything that nobody knows, but, he was really hurt. His back was killing him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty stiff in victory lane, but he was also pretty happy. But I knew we wanted to celebrate more, but it was an awesome race. And with Martin Truex, too, I think if he would have given that race another four or five laps, maybe not even that many, I think Martin might have snuck in there and stole the show from everybody. But Brad wants it. Brad does very well at that racetrack. He's tested there as well. So, just all weekend with the K&N race on Friday, the Xfinity race on Saturday, it just couldn't have been a better weekend for us. And like you said, we got some rain late Friday night. It was like 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. and got the campers a little wet, but didn't douse them. And we were able to get up and get rolling Saturday morning with just a little bit of track drying, and got on our way. So pretty excited for Cheez-It and Bully Hill and Xfinity, of course, with Zippo coming, signing back on again with us for another 3 years.
Not sure how much you've talked to folks in the industry post-race, but I'm assuming all pretty positive reviews from the drivers on the newly resurfaced racetrack there, too, as well.
Yeah, they had I got to talk to a lot of them Saturday, so, and then a little bit on Sunday morning, of course, but they all really enjoyed the track because it was smooth.
Yep.
A lot of bumps, but some of them, they also said, well, you took out a bump where I knew where my apex was. So it's kind of interesting on their perspective and being in their class. The only other thing that they said was that they thought the tires might have been a little hard. I mean, they were a little critical on the Goodyear side, just because they were slippery.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other races, as they know, the the Pirellis, the Coopers, the Continentals, the Firestones, they all brought out super soft tires, so they picked up a lot of speed, where the Cup guys didn't pick up a lot of speed, but they still said it was pretty darn smooth.
You know, that's kind of seems like the norm whenever there's a resurface or a repave on the circuit, Mike, is the teams test and Goodyear brings a soft tire and then there might be some tire wear issues and then Goodyear kind of reacts and brings a little bit harder tire. And I think that happened in Kentucky earlier this year, too. There just Goodyear was trying to prevent maybe any major tire failures.
Yeah, you know, I get it. I think, you know, from an oval point of view, I get sidewall, and obviously you're only turning left.
Yep.
I don't mean to diminish what the drivers do, but I think on a road course, my you know, from what I heard from the drivers is they could have brought a different tire that didn't apply to an oval.
Mm.
So that was kind of what I was hearing from some of the drivers.
Michael Prince up from Watkins Glen International joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Well, transition now to the IndyCar race coming up Labor Day weekend, and the IndyCar series had another test, pretty much almost a full field. I think you had 20 teams there for that last test. What is the vibe from the IndyCar paddock after that test?
You want to see a bunch of kids wait for Christmas? it was awesome. And I don't mean just the drivers. I'll tell you from our side, from our point of view, too, and especially mine. The tires and the speeds, I mean, they're going to be doing sub 124s. And
wow.
Then I mean, 1 minute, 24 second laps, just blistering speed. So we anticipate to pick that up. From what we understand from the drivers, they didn't even bring the super softs for the tire test. First, they'll bring the super softs back for the actual qualifying. So that means they're going to pick up a little bit more. Some guys were hoping at least for another second or so. So that's why I say sub 124s according to the teams. But it's just all that excitement that they're going to bring and how we're going to be able to get this thing just really revved up. So, you know, it's been a short window. As you know, our summers up here in New York go pretty quick when you only have 8 weekends. Basically, your July and August after the kids get out of school.
Mm.
We've had 90 days, almost 90 days now to promote it. We don't expect a home run in terms of attendance. It's just there's too much noise in the system. I mean, from everybody, and I mean from the state fair to Erie County Fair to all the racing events and non-racing events we've been doing at the Glen. But, you know, that's not an excuse. We plan on doing it, and hopefully we're going to sit down with the IndyCar guys Monday, Tuesday, and this week and talk about the future of IndyCar at the Glen.
The last time the IndyCar folks were there were 6 years ago. Did you guys have to, outside of the repave, of course, obviously, but have you had to do anything else to the facility, garage, paddock area, anything to accommodate the IndyCar folks coming back this year?
No, not a thing. When they first came back in 2005, we did about almost $3 million worth of improvements, safety improvements, of course. You know, we all want drivers and fans to be safe, of course, and so is a racetrack. So,
sure.
The only thing that we did, but we already had planned on it, just because we didn't know IndyCar was coming when we paved last year, but we did pave a substantial part of the runoff in the heel of the boot, so mm-hmm. 8. So, instead of being gravel, at least it gives them a skid pad if they miss that corner and they can get right back on track. You don't have to stop the race. You don't have gravel all over the racetrack when they come back on. So that's really the only other thing. We did add some curbing. Drivers left turn 9. Again, safety, safe from a safety point of view.
Sure.
To keep them off the grass. Grass is not a good racing surface at a road course, but somehow these drivers love getting on, all the drivers, not just IndyCar, but we didn't leave them a lot of grass to race on, so we expect the speeds just to be, like you said, just blistering and just have another fantastic race. And I know Jay Fry and Steven Starks on IndyCar, and we're excited. I talked with the governor's office this week about it. We're trying to get him to come down, and hopefully that'll happen. But, you know, he's a busy guy, of course, especially with the fair opening up on Thursday.
Sure.
But we're trying to just get him here to get some noise going in the system, but it's awesome.
Speaking of, since you brought up the governor and the fairgrounds, I'm not sure how much you followed the deal with the fairgrounds and Super Dirt Week and everything. Did you get consulted by either side of those discussions, whether the governor's office, World Racing Group, did you have any discussions on that whole negotiation with the money they received from the state and everything to relocate Super Dirt Week after the fairgrounds closed down?
Now, you know, the only thing that the governor's team had mentioned to me was, hey, we're hearing about this asphalt compound that actually has recycled tires in it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, we're aware of it. The University of Alabama has been working on it. So a good thing, you know, you recycle tires, you get them back out of dumps or wherever they go, or get mulched up for playgrounds. It's a good compound. It's not made for a NASCAR facility. It was not durable enough.
Right.
It is something I believe they were looking at up there in Syracuse, but I think, you know, from a racing community, you know, I wish we had more time to spend, you know, at places like Lancaster and Holland, you know, Wego and Oswego and, you know, all these great, the Chemungdrome, you know, all these places that we don't have a chance to interact with just because of our racing schedule ourselves.
Sure.
It's all good news for the state of New York, as far as I'm concerned, when there's promoting racing, whether that's motorcycles or cars.
Mike, I got a Twitter question here from a fan. Will tweeted in, what do the drivers feel about the new pave in relation to the passing zones? Is there going to be more passing, less passing? What have you heard from the test so far?
Yeah, this is part of that curbing. Drivers left turn 9 on the exit. You know, we put that curbing in and then we expanded some other curbing. What it'll do is, and this is only for the people using the whole course, of course, because it's exit boot and entry boot, that they can actually pick up another passing lane there.
All right.
They're going to move over another couple feet, which actually could make it too wide. It also became true in the S's, only from a grip point of view. We didn't add any curbing there. We just redid what was there. We added a few inches onto it, extending into the, you know, with former grass. But from what we hear, there's going to be a little bit more width in the S's, and then there's definitely another passing area under braking into 8 and out of 9. So that'll be interesting to see, especially with these Indy cars sticking to the track like they do.
Very good. Last thing, Michael, I'm sure you are loving all this Bills-Watkins Glen crossover lately. You had Marcel Daria, some other players for the NASCAR race. You had James Hinchcliffe and Joseph Newgarden at training camp this week. I'm sure you're loving all this Bills-Watkins Glen interaction.
You know, the Bills are great friends of mine. I'm really good friends with Bill Munson, head of government relations there. And, you know, anytime we can get some of the Bills, you know, obviously sad news on Marcel, but, man, he's a monster. I got to hang out with him for a little bit and shoot the breeze. And we had Jack Houston here, who's his movie Ben-Hur just opened up this past weekend from London, a Hollywood actor. So, but having the Bills and the interaction, you know, we've always enjoyed that. And you know, I'm a little selfish. I gotta keep rooting and love what's happening with our Bills. So gotta just keep cheering them. I can't wait to see how many games I can get to. That's gonna be the key this fall.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting to your game in a couple of weeks there for the IndyCar race. We'll be there broadcasting live. Excited about that. Excited about this contest we're doing with this giveaway for. We're gonna give away a great IndyCar prize pack. So we're gonna bring some fans with us that'll meet a driver and all this cool stuff along with pit and garage passes that we'll be doing a giveaway here at WGR. Thank you for the time, Michael, on your vacation. Now get back to work and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me on, Dave.
All right. Michael Printup from Watkins Glen International. TheGlen.com. You can get tickets for the IndyCar race at Watkins Glen Labor Day weekend. The big show on Sunday with the IndyCar Grand Prix of Watkins Glen at Watkins Glen International. A late addition to the schedule after the Boston race was canceled through the street course they were trying to do in Boston. And Michael picked up the phone, called up the folks at IndyCar, said, hey, bring the party to our place. And that's what's going to happen 2 weeks from today at Labor Day weekend at Watkins Glen International. When we get back, we've got the local racing roundup. We'll cover a few tracks a little bit closer to home. And I have time for your phone calls, 2-8-0-3-0-5-50-1, 888-550-2550, when we wrap up Fast Track here on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
And we'll start with the Friday night action at the Big R Ransomville Speedway. A couple of first-time winners, including Nick Joy in the Modifieds over Ricky Richter and Phil Vigneri. Steve Lewis Jr. got his first career sportsman win. Jaron Israel, 5-time winner in the Street Stocks. Anthony Guthrie in the Four Bangers. And Robbie Johnston got his second win of the year in the Novice Sportsman. Freedom Motorsports Park, they finally got to racing once again. They had 3 straight weeks of rainouts. One of the few tracks that's been really hit by the rain this year. Another win for Kyle Inman in the Sportsman over Adam Leslie, Brad Rouse, and Cody McPherson. Jeremy Wunderling picked up the win in the Rush Late Models. I believe that was his second win of the week. I think he got the win the other night at McKean County Raceway down in Pennsylvania. Byron DeWitt in the Street Stocks and Deanna Shepherd got the win in the Mini stocks, Lancaster National Dragway Friday night. Robert Weller in top eight. Wayne Cleveland got the win in top ET. Paul Want got the win in the Gasser Racing Series Mod Class. And Art Mizoraka got the win in the Gasser Racing Series Gassers. Clay Ricketson in Mod ET. Mike Peters in Sleds and Bikes. And Nick Morrissey got the win in Street ET. Saturday night action, Holland Speedway. They had twin Hornet features that were split by Ben Russo and Jeff Safranik. Twin Charger features split by Tom Northam and Zach Myers. Brandon DeBrecalier in the Legends. Dale Lombardo in the Rookie Fours. And Jim Steins in the Figure Eights. Genesee Speedway last night. Nick Snazek in the Crate Late Models. Brian Bellinger denying Kyle Inman a two-win weekend in the Sportsman. Danny Knoll the third we had. And Katie Knoll, they went 1-2. We had Katie and Danny Jr. here in studio last week. And it was a Knoll 1-2 finish in the Micro Sprints last night at Genesee. Good to see that. Byron DeWitt, another win this weekend in the Street Stocks. And Dante Mancuso in the Mini Stocks. And Eddie Kowalczyk got the win in the Bandits last night at Genesee Speedway. Merrittville Speedway, Tyler LaFontese in the Mini Stocks. Dave Bailey in the Hoosier Stocks. Paul Klager in the Mod Lights. Eric Rudolph got the win in the 358 Modifieds over Chad Brockman and Pete Bicknell. And Cody McPherson got the big Gabe Belante Memorial King of the Crate Race at Merrittville, his fifth win of the season at Merrittville Speedway in 2016. State Line Speedway last night in the Super Late Models. It was Rich Gardner over Max Blair and Dave Hess. Rush Crate Late Models, Dennis Lunger Jr., Justin Carlson Pro Mods, Matt Kaczynski Sportsman, Andy Proper in the Super Challengers. Lancaster Speedway last night, the 27th annual Tommy Drewer, Tony Jankowiak Memorial Modified 110 for the Race of Champions Modified Series, and you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. Patrick Emmerling, his sixth win of the season on the ROC Series Trail and 11th win overall in 2016. He has been the most dominant driver on the pavement racetracks in and around Western New York. He's having a phenomenal year, holding off Chuck Hosfeld once again for the third modified race in a row this year at Lancaster. Mark Hoke got the win in the Street Stocks. Kevin Bainbridge won the four-cylinder race. He's got seven wins this year in the division, and he did it with his eye bruised and all stitched up after he got hit in the face with a rock in his heat race. He's all stitched up. It was amazing. He could barely see during his heat race, and he still brought it home for a feature win last night in the four cylinders at Lancaster. And Kyle Hutchinson dominated the TQ feature at Lancaster. Great show last night at Lancaster Speedway. Looking for some racing action tonight, of course, you can always check out the Humberstone Speedway in Port Colborne. What do they got tonight? They have the Tusa Mod Light Tour is in the house, along with their weekly divisions there at Humberstone Speedway tonight at 6:30. Last week, Justin Sharp got the win in the Sportsman, and Robbie Pitts got the win in the Late Models last weekend at Humberstone Speedway. Rob Murray got the Street Stock win. Dylan Lord in the Pro 4 Trucks and Jason Cattu in the Mini Stocks there at the Humberstone Speedway. Labor Day weekend, always a big racing weekend. A couple of big events coming up at both Holland and Wyoming County this Saturday night. If you're looking for some pavement racing action, both tracks have big Labor Day weekend races coming up. And also, of course, Oswego Classic weekend is coming up in a couple of weeks, too. Actually, Labor Day 2 weeks away. I don't know why I jumped the gun. There's still another week here left in August. We don't want this summer to end and the season to end here on Fast Track. So you still got 2 weeks until Labor Day weekend. That'll do it for us. One other note, and I wanted to bring this up earlier, but a big signing this week by Hendrick Motorsports. They inked William Byron, who's got, I think, now six wins on the Camperwheel Truck Series. He was driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports in the Truck Series. Well, Hendrick Motorsports has locked him to a deal. He's going to drive in the Xfinity Series next year for JR Motorsports, which is basically Hendrick Motorsports. And that is a huge signing for Hendrick, as they're going to be looking to rebuild that team in the next 5 years or so. For all of their wins and championships, they're in an interesting place right now. You've got, of course, Chase Elliott. Now, that's the first step in their next generation, taking over for Jeff Gordon. But now you've got Casey Kane, who's been underperforming, has a contract coming up here in the next couple of years, if not at the end of this year, at the end of next year. And then you've got Dale Jr. and Jimmy Johnson, who are both at 40 or over. Obviously, Dale Jr.'s health issues, and who knows how much more Jimmy Johnson's going to want to do this. He's at 40 years old. He doesn't really need to accomplish anything more with six championships unless he wants to, you know, get that seventh championship and reach that level with Richard Petty and Dale Sr. So this is a huge signing for Hendrick to ink William Byron, who's been a pure talent ever since he stepped into the sport, who's only been doing this for like 3-4 years. He got to start racing simulation games, and then they put him behind the wheel of an actual race car and found out he was pretty good at it. So that's another big step for Hendrick Motorsports. They're kind of like it's almost like they're not tanking, but it's almost like the Sabres. They're doing this, you know, youth rebuild slowly but surely. They've got Chase Elliott, now they've got William Byron, and we'll see who they fill those other two seats with, because I think definitely the 5, 48, and 88, they're all going to have new drivers here within the next, at the most, 5 years between Casey's lack of performance and Dale Jr. and Jimmy Johnson, I'm assuming, are going to retire sometime in the next 5 years with just with their age and obviously Dale Jr.'s health issues on top of that. We'll have to see, though. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Sunday here on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.